In his book, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis wrote, "Pride is spiritual cancer. It eats up the very possibility of love or contentment or even common sense." Hi, I'm Rob West. The Bible also warns about the sin of pride and the boasting that comes with it. Today, we'll look at the consequences of pride in the life of the rich fool. And then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. In Luke 12, Jesus tells his followers a parable about a rich man who's proud of his prosperity. Here's the text from Luke 12, 16 to 18. "The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I'll do this. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods.' At first, this might look like an example of good stewardship. A rich man plans to take care of his abundant resources. But when you look more closely at the rich man's words, you will see that he's giving all the credit for his wealth to himself. 'I have nowhere to store my crops,' he says. 'Then I will tear down my barns.' You get the idea. He uses the words I and my 9 times in just 2 verses. He never acknowledges God's provision or even considers God at all. 1 Corinthians 4:7 condemns this attitude. 'What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it?' 1 Timothy 6, 7, and 8 encourages an attitude of gratitude and humility about material things. 'For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content.'" How often are you tempted to be proud of the good financial things that happen in your life? You work hard and you finally pay off that car loan. You save enough money to take a much-needed vacation. You invest carefully and your nest egg grows. But are any of these things really your doing? The Bible reminds us that God is the author of every good gift. That means any boasting we do should be about how awesome God is, not about how clever or successful or rich we are. 2 Corinthians 10, 17, and 18 explains why. "Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord, for it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends." So the rich man in Jesus' parable isn't being a faithful steward, because a faithful steward understands that the Lord is the source of financial blessings. Instead of feeling proud about their possessions, faithful stewards use their resources to glorify God and serve others. The rich man in Jesus' parable misses the mark by taking credit for his success and by using his wealth only to serve himself. He is both proud and greedy. Jesus continues the parable in Luke 12, 19 with the man's boastful words. "And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?'" Jesus completes the parable with the moral of the story. "So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." God calls the rich man a fool because the man expected to find security, hope, and joy in his abundant possessions. He went to great lengths to protect what he had for his own glory. After having everything, he ended up with nothing because he was not rich toward God. As King Solomon points out in Ecclesiastes 5, 10 through 12, money cannot really fulfill anyone's desire for abundance. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity. So, are you anxious about finances a lot of the time? Do you envy what other people have? When things go well, do you feel like you deserve a little credit? Well, Jesus told the parable of the rich fool to point you and me to the only true source of life and abundance. Himself. As we quoted earlier, C.S. Lewis called pride spiritual cancer. He goes on to say, "As long as you are proud, you cannot know God. A proud man is always looking down on things and people. And of course, as long as you're looking down, you cannot see something that is above you." Today's topic was drawn from our brand new study, Rich Toward God, with the Lord's guidance. FaithFi created it with the intent to expand our understanding of His amazing love for us and what it means to follow Him with all of our hearts. Now, we'd like to invite you to get a copy for personal study or for everyone in your Bible study to experience it together. Pick it up today at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. It's commonly known that people like Paul and Peter and others wrote letters to the early church. But did you know that Jesus also wrote letters to churches? In Revelation chapters 2 and 3, there are seven letters to seven churches in Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey. The number of churches is intentional. Seven, number of completion. So in a very real sense, these letters are for all of us today. And the first letter was written to the Ephesians. They were doing many things right, like not tolerating false teaching. But one thing was surprisingly lacking. It says, "Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first." Good theology must go hand in hand with love for Jesus. Grow in your walk. Visit GetAnchor.com.
My grocery bill went up 11% this year. Gas, utilities, rent, all went up. But my paycheck, the same. I also pay for my own healthcare, a huge expense. A friend recommended Christian Healthcare Ministries as an option to insurance, and CHM helps pay for medical needs while allowing some breathing room in my budget. Open enrollment is here, so make the switch today with potential cost savings up to 40%. Christian Healthcare Ministries at chministries.org/faithfi.
When couples experience infidelity, it's easy for some to walk away from their marriage. But what if God has something better in mind? Next time on Focus on the Family, Josh and Katie Walters describe how God intervened and saved their broken relationship. It's a powerful message of hope on the next edition of Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Many in the Middle East are going through horrific circumstances and are seeking refuge in Lebanon. Heart for Lebanon is bringing them hope, and now you can help.
We endured shelling and hunger. We witnessed death everywhere.
$116 brings emergency supplies and the hope that only comes through the gospel.
I want to spend the rest of my life telling people about Jesus and His salvation.
Give now at faithfi.com/Lebanon or call 888-201-201. 5577.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
we're so thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Boy, I look forward to this hour every day as I have the opportunity to come alongside you, to encourage you, to point you back to God's Word, help you apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. You see, folks, you and I, we have a high calling as it relates to our stewardship of God's money. That's right. It all belongs to Him. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. That's what Psalm 24:1 tells us. And therefore, we're stewards, and money is now a tool to accomplish God's purposes. It's morally neutral. It's not good or bad. The question is, how are we going to use it? Are we going to hold it loosely? Are we going to allow it to compete with our affection and devotion to God Himself? Because remember, the Bible says you cannot serve God and money. And I don't think that was an accident that those two things were put alongside one another, because if something is going to compete with our affection and devotion to the Lord, I would submit it's most often going to be money and the things that money can buy. So how do we develop an eternal perspective as it relates to our money? Well, that's what we want to help you do on this program each day, to help you see your resources, God's resources that you're managing, through the lens of Scripture, applying a biblical worldview. That's what we do with all of our programming here at American Family Radio, and that certainly includes God's money. All right, let's dive in today. We're going to go to Rochester, New York. Raymond, you'll be our first caller. Sir, go ahead.
So I am in a little predicament that I didn't realize that could happen. The other day, my brother was checking his credit score, and I said, okay, well, I don't usually do that. So I checked my credit score, and I found a Amex American Express card on my credit report with a legit account info, account number, and it shows the payment history, and it says it was opened in 2017. And I've never had any relations with American Express. I've never filled out an application or anything.
Yeah, well, obviously, this is something you want to get, taken care of right away. So here's a few steps I would take, Raymond, as you pursue this. Number one is, so you saw your credit file. Do you know which of the bureaus you got that credit file from?
Yes, sir. All three of them show it.
Okay, they're all showing it. All right. So that's the first step. The next is to go ahead and call American Express. And, you're going to want to let them know that the account needs to be closed and that it was opened, fraudulently, so that they can flag it and have it removed. Now, have you already reached out to Amex?
Yes, I did. I gave them, they checked with my social security number. They checked with my name and everything, and they didn't find anything. Also, I gave them this account number that's on here, and they don't have any recollection of the account number at all.
Okay. All right. So it could just be, something that was reported incorrectly. I mean, it's not uncommon for credit reports to have inaccurate information. And that leads us to step three, which is to dispute the account with each of the three credit bureaus. You can do this online, by phone, or by mail. And basically, you would let them know that it's not accurate, that it's not your account. And they're legally required to investigate your claim within 30 days. And then basically they have to either verify it or delete it or remove it. Assuming it returns in your favor, the credit bureau's investigation, then it would just automatically be taken off. I would probably do two things at that point. Number one is you can add a fraud alert to the credit report if you think identity theft was the cause and that there's a chance the thief could open more accounts. The additional step, and this is key, is to place what's called a freeze on each of your three credit reports, which is going to make it a lot more difficult for any fraudulent accounts to be opened in your name, because that establishes a PIN number that would need to be provided anytime someone is wanting to open an account in your name, because the lender is going to want to pull a copy of your credit file. They won't be able to do so without that PIN number to access it, and that could stop them in their tracks. So that would be the steps that I would follow. You've already pulled the reports. Next is to dispute. After that is to, and you could do this simultaneously, place the fraud alert and the freeze. Does that all make sense, though?
Yeah, that sounds so. How do I go about doing that? Is that free to do that credit alert or to do the freeze? Is that
both of them are free? Yes, absolutely. And each of the bureau's websites would let you know exactly how to do that. It's very simple to do, and you can, you know, do that online, over the phone, or through the mail. Also, the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, has a helpful article about credit freezes and fraud alerts. If you just search in whatever search engine you use, FTC, what to know about credit freezes and fraud alerts, you'll see an article that's very helpful that'll pop up that explains all of these. But basically, you just initiate that with each of the three bureaus, and there is no cost.
So basically, the reason why I called you is because, I mean, this is – so that's the best way in order to protect yourself, so that if somebody tries to put something on your credit, they won't be able to do that without getting a hold of you first.
Yeah, that's right. So in terms of something appearing on your credit, the only thing that appears on your credit is outstanding accounts that you have and the status of those accounts, apart from your personal information, your name and your address and your work history and things like that. So the only way a new account would appear on your credit file, apart from a mistake that the bureau's made, which obviously all three bureaus are reflecting this, so there's something else going on, is that somebody would be opening an account in your name with your social security number on a fraudulent basis. And that cannot be done without that lender first checking your credit file, because they don't want to extend anyone credit without knowing whether you have, you know, your credit worthy. The only way to do that is for them to check your credit score and credit file, and they wouldn't be able to do that with the fraud alert and, or more specifically, the freeze. So that's why those are really key in a situation like this.
So you would recommend anybody to do the same thing, to put a freeze and to put a fraudulent thing on your credit report?
Yes, certainly. If you've had your account compromised, if you've ever been the victim of identity theft, if you've ever had any fraud, absolutely. If not, then you just have to decide whether it's worth kind of the additional hassle, because it does create an extra step anytime you try to open an account, open a new credit card, a new bank account, you know, get a car loan, things like that. So a lot of folks will opt to wait until they have reason to believe there's been some sort of nefarious activity. But absolutely, if you just want to be on the safe side, it's never a bad idea to do it, because again, there's no cost to it.
Right. Actually, like in this situation here, I didn't even know it was on there, and my credit could have been ruined.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why it's so important. And I'm glad you raised this question. It's so important that we're pulling our credit files regularly. The nice thing is that it's more accessible than ever. I mean, most credit cards now are offering free credit reports and, or excuse me, credit scores. You're probably getting emails and alerts all the time from anybody that you do business with offering you a free credit score. If not, Credit Karma offers free credit scores. You can get your credit bureau reports free at annualcreditreport.com. So I would say at least three times a year, you need to be pulling a copy of those credit reports from all three bureaus to look for exactly what you've identified, which would be an inaccurate or fraudulent account. Raymond, thanks for your call, sir. We'll take a quick break and back with much more on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Stick around.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're live from the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. And in that last segment, we had just a few technical difficulties. As a result, we had to play a pre-recorded segment. But we are back live, and that means we're ready for your calls and questions. Right now, with lines open, we'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We've got lines open. You can get right through with your financial questions today. Again, we've gathered with other broadcasters, podcasters, media professional, all believers, talking about how we can be more effective, learn and grow in bringing God's word to the ends of the earth through the powerful medium of media. And it's been an incredible week, but we've been delighted to be able to bring you this broadcast live from the Opryland here in Nashville, Tennessee, all week. But looking forward today to tackling what's on your mind financially, that is living, giving, owing, or growing God's money. You can call right now at 800-525-7000. And in just a moment, we will begin to get to those questions. Also coming up today on the broadcast, Jerry Boyer will stop by. He'll be here in the final segment to give us an update on some of the incredible work being done by the American Family Association in the area of corporate engagement. Walker Wildman will also join Jerry, and we'll look forward to hearing how using shares of stock, using company ownership to express Christian values and virtues is a very effective way to affect change on some of the biggest corporations in the United States, which has a ripple effect, I believe, into our culture. It's a very powerful idea, and we'll give you an example of how it's working, specifically related to some of the American Family Association holdings, just a little later in the broadcast. Also, before we head back to the phones, in the news today, a majority of near retirees have a surprising lack of knowledge about Social Security benefits. That's according to a new survey by the insurance company MassMutual. The company presented 1,500 respondents with a Social Security quiz. It was 13 true or false questions, and the results weren't pretty. Listen to this. 41% of respondents failed the test, and another 37% received a grade of D. Less than 1% got all 13 questions right. Some of the questions included, if I file for retirement benefits and have dependent children age 18 or younger, do they also qualify for Social Security benefits? The answer to that is true. And Social Security retirement benefits are subject to income tax, just like withdrawals from a traditional IRA. That one's false. There's actually different rules for taxation. Now, in recent years, the Social Security Administration has tried to be more user-friendly, particularly with office appointments. So if you're nearing retirement or planning to apply for benefits, I encourage you to make an appointment at your local Social Security office to go over the details of your benefits. And then not only will you be in the know, but maybe you can pass the quiz. So hopefully that's helpful to you. And I would just encourage you to stay on top of that. It's a frequently addressed topic here on this program. All right, let's head to the phones. We've got two lines open, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. We're going to head to Virginia. Hi, Denise. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Thank you so much for your programming. I'm calling as a retiree who would like to ask, what would you recommend where to place a savings I have that's just not drawing any interest or very little? I have about $151,000 in an account that's not drawing much, if any, interest. Where should I put it?
Yeah, very good. You've got a couple of options here, Denise. Let me ask you, are you comfortable transacting business online?
I must admit, I seldom do it, so I don't know a lot about transacting business online. I'm capable you're talking about order and shopping. I can do that occasionally.
Okay, very good. Well, the only reason I mention that is the most attractive interest rates right now in savings accounts with FDIC insurance. So just like your brick and mortar bank, it's just that they don't, with the online banks, have that local physical presence. Those online banks are going to offer the most attractive rates of return on a savings account. Okay. So for instance, you might get less than 0.5% on a brick and mortar bank down the street, whereas right now you could get almost 5%, maybe even 5% a year with an online bank. The same FDIC insurance, the full faith and credit of the United States government backing up the account if there was a bank failure, and that happens very rarely, but if it did, and it has happened even in the last few years in a very isolated case, the government would step in and make sure you could get your money and have access to it. The difference is significant, though. So take your $150,000. You know, if you're getting 5% a year, I mean, that's $7,500 over the next 12 months. That's $600 a month for you just putting wow. that in an online savings account and having full liquidity to it. And what I usually recommend, and this is maybe where a friend or a family member could help you, I recommend you keep that same banking relationship that you've had with maybe a local brick and mortar bank, open an online savings account, and then there's a way you can link the two electronically. And what that's going to allow you to do is keep your checking account where it is. Maybe you have a direct deposit of Social Security or, you know, whatever income you're living on. You continue to pay your bills out of that account, but then you can move money back and forth to the online savings account electronically. And it's only 2 or 3 days away through what's called ACH, which is a free electronic transfer system that all the banks use to transfer money between each other. And I think that would be a great option for you. So what I might do is see if a friend or family member could help you with this. It's not difficult, but it'd be helpful to have somebody who can navigate this for you. Step one is to go to bankrate.com. That's bankrate.com. Click on high yield savings, and they will list, Denise, the online banks that have the very best rates of return right now. And you could choose one of those. They also have a 5-star rating system that includes, you know, how good the bank is at, you know, service and whether or not they have any fees. I mean, all these things are there on the screen. And once you select the online bank, you can open the account right there online and then link it to your checking account. And then once it's that is established, that linkage, then you could just electronically move whatever portion of the $150,000 over to the FDIC insured savings and begin getting a much higher interest rate. All right?
Okay, that sounds like a plan.
All right. Thank you for your call today, Denise. God bless you. Hey, we're going to take a quick break and back with your questions after this. 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly 3 decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
We compartmentalize our faith, don't we? That's what we do on Sunday. The rest of the time, we do other things. But that's not the way the early Christians lived. Their job was an add-on to their real ministry, which was to live for Christ. That's what I hope we can begin to see happen.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, Everything You Need, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Because of my past health history, finding affordable health care was nearly impossible. But then I found CHM, where costs are not adjusted based on medical history. Christian Healthcare Ministries even provides the freedom to choose my own providers. And the best part? CHM members pray for me. Too good to be true? It's not. I'm a proud member of Christian Healthcare Ministries, and if you think it could be right for you, learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom Advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
Interested in seminary but don't think it will work in this season in life? Wesley Biblical Seminary offers flexible options that allow you to take classes live, no matter where you are. At WBS, we don't just educate people, we develop trusted leaders for faithful churches. It's time for you to respond to the calling God has on your life. Take classes from an institution that you can trust for a calling that will not go away. Learn more about your opportunities at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions. Looks like one line open, 800-525-7000. Coming up in the next segment, Jerry Boyer and Walker Wildman, an update on some incredible progress they're making in the area of corporate engagement related to some holdings that American Family Association has. We'll tell you about it just around the corner. We're here live at the Opryland in Nashville, Tennessee at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, but bringing you this program here from this beautiful place. Today, our final day here in Nashville, and back to regular programming next week. But let's head back to the phones. So we've got some folks waiting with some great questions. Kim, you'll be next up in Oklahoma. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi. Go ahead.
I retired from public school, and I am now getting ready to start more or less a second career for as a therapist. And I am 56, so I am wanting to know the most financially responsible and biblically responsible way to save money toward a retirement to fit with my others.
Okay. Yeah, very good. I love that you're wanting to be diligent in saving. And I really like that you mentioned faith, what I call faith-based investing, or you could call it biblically responsible investing. You know, there's such a phenomenal opportunity now more than ever with just some really exciting and compelling investments that are specifically aligned with your values. They're investing in companies that have a lot of value to shareholders. So, you know, they're looking for performance, but also to make sure that the investments that are selected are aligned with your values. So either eliminating companies that are misaligned or specifically selecting companies that have a kingdom impact or promoting human flourishing. Let's talk about the type of vehicle that'd be best for you. What did you say you're going to do now?
I'm going to be a therapist.
Okay.
Counseling.
Yeah. Great. And are you going to be self-employed, Kim, or will you be working and earning a W-2 paycheck?
Well, I'll have a W-2 for the first 3 years. And the way the state's set up, that kind of has to be that way. And then after that, I can go independent contractor.
I see. And is there a retirement plan available to you in this?
Yes. They will have, and I haven't even had my, the briefing on how that's going to work with this company yet, but there is a retirement IRA, I think, available through them.
Okay. Yeah. So you'll want to check on that. I mean, normally I would say that's a great way to begin investing because we want to make our savings automatic. So you'd want to automatically have a portion of your salary just go right into that retirement plan once you learn more about it. And that's going to do something called dollar cost averaging, which just means it's a systematic investment into whatever investments you select inside the retirement plan. It goes in pre-tax, so you get a deduction on what you put in. and then it grows tax deferred in whatever investments you selected. But whether the market's up, down, or sideways, you're constantly rebuying more shares and dollar cost averaging in. Now, the only downside to this is that when you mention a biblically responsible manner, still today, and this is changing, and let's pray that it changes quickly, but still today, very few of these company-sponsored plans have access to a lot of the faith-based or biblically responsible investment choices. So you'd have to see whether they have something called a brokerage window, which is where through the company-sponsored plan, you have the ability to go beyond it and select your own investments. And that's where you could put a Timothy plan in, or an Eventide fund, or a One Ascent, or a Crossmark Global, one of these fund families that you'll find on our website at faithfi.com that invests in a faith-based manner. Apart from that, the other option is just going outside of your company-sponsored plan and just going direct into a traditional or a Roth IRA, where, again, you'd set that up on your own, make a systematic monthly contribution. You could put in up to $7,000 for this year if you're under age 50. You could put in $7,500 if you're over 50. And you could select the investments, and then you could pick one of those faith-based investing fund families. Give me the questions you have on all that. I know I've thrown a lot at you there.
Okay. Where do you find the information on, I know your website, but is it going to be, like, we have First Trade, and we do a little bit through First Trade. So, we do all that online. So will we be able to do this situation online? My husband and I, can we do this online as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So you would just either do one of two things. You'd go direct to a brokerage firm like, let's say, Charles Schwab, and you'd open the Roth IRA and you'd set up that systematic contribution after you get your paycheck right into your new Roth or traditional IRA at Schwab, in my example. And then you would pick the investments, the fund families to go into. And you could find a list of those if you go to faithfi.com and click on the show and scroll down to see our underwriters. You'll see a list of a lot of those fund families like Timothy and One Ascent and Eventide and others. And then you could automatically invest into those mutual funds along the way.
Okay. All right. For the first 3 years, all my checks will be even because I'll be salaried until I go independent. And then that would be where I would have varying amounts to, but for the first, 2-3 years, whatever it is, it would be the same amount all the time. But then, so that could auto draft. But after that, that would be difficult. I'd have to.
And you wouldn't have to auto draft. You could just choose to go and do a specific amount every month just based on how much you have available as you begin to get a variable income. So I would check that out. I would also visit with your new employer and understand what's available to you through the retirement plan there, because you may get some matching. But hopefully that helps you, Kim. Hey, all the best to you in this new career, this second career that you have. And we appreciate your call today. Quickly to Georgia. Hi, Elizabeth. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question. I have to update my will, and I have been putting that off, but I have an appointment to do it now. And someone suggested, well, instead of updating your will, get a trust.
Yeah.
And so I mentioned that to the lawyer's assistant, and she sent me some paperwork to fill out. And I don't see the advantage.
There may not be enough advantage for you, Elizabeth, to do this. Really, the primary thing that you're doing with a trust versus a will, and by the way, you still need the will, because the trust is only for anything inside the trust. The will catches everything. But the trust is going to allow whatever is inside it to pass outside of probate. Number one, so it doesn't go through the probate process, which means it's handled a little more expediently and with less cost, at least at death.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the first thing. The second thing is it's private. It's not a part of the public record. If that's important to you, that's one of the things the trust would offer. And then thirdly, it allows your assets to be handled by a trustee prior to your death if you're incapacitated. So a will only goes into effect at death, but a trust could go into effect prior to your death if you're incapacitated, and assets don't have to be distributed right away if you don't want them to. So for instance, if you had minor children that were heirs, a trustee could distribute the assets to them at certain points in the future when they reached a certain age or certain other conditions were met. But if that's not important to you and you have a fairly simple situation, a trust may not be necessary. A simple will can cover it, and then you'd avoid the $2,000 to $3,000 worth of expense that you'd need to pay to set that up. So I'd get back with the attorney and talk about whether it's necessary for you. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
When we talk about politics, we tend to, as Christians, kind of set aside our faith and say, well, in the political arena, I identify more as a Republican or a Democrat or a conservative versus a liberal. The biblical worldview genuinely is the foundation and the basis for everything that we do, including our involvement in and analyzing civil government.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jessica Peck, host of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, the home of happy parents and healthy teens on AFR.net. I serve as your expert guide to engage, equip, encourage, and empower you to navigate life's toughest issues with your teens. We explore health impacts and home strategies to create a safe space in an unsafe world. The Dr. Nurse Mama Show on AFR.net.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances. And FaithFi is here to help you and many others to be wise stewards of God's resources. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from FaithFi patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Please consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron. Visit faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio, live from the National Religious Broadcasters Convention all week long. Today, our final day. We have to leave the Gaylord, where it's always a beautiful 72 degrees. In fact, President Trump was here yesterday, and he was talking about all of the weather going on as he was trying to land, and we had no idea because it's a city under a roof, and so it feels like it's always beautiful, but there's obviously a lot going on outside these walls. We're grateful to have during this segment of our broadcast our good friend Jerry Boyer. He's president of Boyer Research. He's our resident economist, and joining us in the studio, we'll talk to in just a moment today as well, during this segment, Vice President of AFA and CEO of AFA Action, Walker Wildman. Jerry and Walker, good afternoon. Or I guess it's morning. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Rob, good to be with you and Jerry.
Good to be with you as well. Good morning.
Hey, Jerry, before we dive into some of the specific news we have, give our listeners a definition of corporate engagement. When we say corporate engagement, what do we mean?
What we mean is that if you're an investor in a company and you own stock, that you have numerous rights that come along with that stock ownership. You have authority, legal authority, and you can speak to the company as a shareholder. You can go through the investor relations department. A lot of times people, when they talk to a company, they might basically talk to the customer hotline or something like that. But there's hotlines that are a little hotter if you're actually an owner. So you can call them, you can talk to them. If you own even just one share, you can attend the annual meeting. Now, they're mostly online, so you attend the annual meeting by logging on and asking a question. And if you have enough shares, by the way, it's not a huge number, $2,000 worth for 3 years, you can actually put a proposal on the ballot that then everybody sees, goes out to all the shareholders. The board of directors read it. The CEO and upper management read it. And then it's voted on. And that's exactly what AFA has been doing.
Well, I want to talk about that. Before we do, though, Jerry, I'd love to know, Christians, have we been present in this conversation in the last 20 years, or have we been missing out on it?
Incredibly absent. And if we mean by Christians, there have been people who are religiously affiliated, but in terms of, you know, grounded in a biblical worldview, basically almost incredibly absent for 40 years. And so we've kind of left a vacuum there, and folks on the cultural left, people who do not share our views on abortion or on the nature of marriage or on even on the nature of sexuality, have been driving the agenda, driving an anti-energy agenda, driving essentially an authoritarian agenda, because they showed up, they learned the rules, because it is a little complicated. There are rules. And even though they might represent a tiny, tiny fraction of the shareholders, shareholders, by the way, are mostly conservatives. So it's almost like every year, every public corporation has an election, and it's like a red state election. A majority are conservatives, but we lose every year because we didn't know there was an election, and we didn't show up, and we didn't do anything about it. So now, I don't mean to completely conflate, you know, conservatism and Christianity, but I think they fit together actually pretty well. So conservative Christians have not been representing their point of view. And a few years ago, people woke up, they looked at some stuff that Target was doing or Disney, and they said, well, what happened? This is sudden. No, it really wasn't sudden. People were working on undermining the foundation of these companies for 30 or 40 years. Now, the sudden collapse, you know, that was shocking, but this was the result of decades of work. Now, we've begun to engage lately over the past several years, and already the tide is turning, which is shocking given how much of a head start that they had on us.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, Jerry, that was a helpful background. Now, catch us up. You've partnered with the American Family Association to begin really with intentionality, leaning into this opportunity in corporate engagement around some of the holdings of AFA. So what's on the front burner right now?
Well, in the front burner is Apple, which is the largest corporation in the world, usually, sometimes Microsoft is, and it had been taking down Christian content. It had been censoring a Bible app in China and a Quran app. It had been censoring Christian content here in the United States. They took down the Manhattan Declaration. They took down LifeSite News. They've got incredibly vague standards for when they can take something down. There's essentially, they literally say, we know it when we see it. Something crosses over the line. So this is a company that was ripe for somebody to come along and say, wait a minute, you should not be choosing sides in a culture war. I don't think they should be, I mean, and choosing the wrong side is even worse, but I don't think we want corporations to choose sides in a culture war. We want them to focus on their business. So nobody's coming along there and saying, listen, Apple, we don't want you having satanic apps, or we don't want you having Muslim apps, or we don't, you know, in fact, we're even defending, you know, Quranic app. This is about Apple being fair and having freedom for everybody. And then, you know, in this marketplace of ideas where everybody, you know, can have an app on the App Store, then we fight out and see which ideas prevail.
Yeah. Walker Wildman with us as well, Vice President of American Family Association, CEO of AFA Action. Walker, I know you're going to be presenting on behalf of this shareholder resolution at the Apple board meeting coming up, which means Tim Cook, CEO, is going to be there. You'll be speaking before the former executive chair of Johnson & Johnson, former Vice President Al Gore on this board, and many others. What is your message to this this leadership team of Apple?
Yeah, my message is very brief. It's about, I get about 2 to 3 minutes, and I basically make the case that Jerry just made in part there, that Apple needs to look into this. Apple needs to do a full review of their deplatforming and viewpoint discrimination practices and clean house. We can't have one of the largest corporations in the world picking and choosing winners and losers, but then when we want to talk about it at the shareholder meeting, they say, oh, no, this isn't happening. There's no example of this. There is example of this, and one of the most well-known examples, in addition to the ones Jerry just mentioned, is the Parler app. Post-2020 election, Apple unilaterally yanked the Parler app, one of the largest growing social platforms on the App Store, They yanked it off the App Store. Parler is basically gone upside down now. Nobody talks about Parler anymore. But at the time, they were the fastest growing conservative app in the App Store when it comes to social media. And they're no longer there now. Why? Because Apple unilaterally decided to take their app off the App Store. So this is a serious issue. Many of us have Apple devices. We listen to Apple podcasts, and Apple owns and manages so many different platforms and devices that this issue has to be addressed. So we're asking Apple to do a full review and report to shareholders what their practices are when it comes to viewpoint discrimination and deplatforming.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Jerry, I know you've been encouraging our listeners over the last few weeks, if they're owners of Apple, to be present, right?
Yes. And it's pretty simple, actually. If they're owners of Apple, they get a little proxy card in the mail if they own the stock directly. By the way, sometimes it's set up with your financial advisor so you don't get that proxy card. You might want to talk to your financial advisor and say, hey, what's going on? Who's voting on my behalf? Can I vote? Let's get some information here about what's happening because, you know, I own this company. I want to have a voice one way or the other. But if you've opted with your financial advisor to get that proxy, it comes to you via email. And there's something there called a control number, and there's a link there, and you go to the link to where the meeting is being held, and you put in the control number, and you're in. Then there's a little box where you can ask questions. You can type in questions. Some of the companies actually allow phone-in questions, but Apple, the bigger companies tend to not do that. And you can ask, hey, what about the AFA proposal? Why aren't you investigating this? There obviously is something going on here. Be courteous. You know, they're not saying you've done something wrong necessarily. They're saying we want a review. Why won't you be more transparent about this? As a shareholder, I'm concerned. Just express your concerns. They only hear from one side over and over and over again. If 50 or 100 or 200 people listening right now own Apple and you actually logged on and you started asking those questions, it would be a completely different Apple meeting than they've ever had before.
That's good.
Well, Walker, obviously AFA has been on the front line since 1977, advocating for Christian values in the culture. This seems like the same message, and yet the methods have changed. Why is this so key to what AFA is all about?
Yeah, historically, AFA's engaged on multiple fronts. I mean, this goes back to my grandfather, Don Wildman. Back in the day, not only did he participate in the occasional boycott, and we typically only do one boycott at a time, and those have been successful in the past, but we're in a new era where boycotts are much more difficult to be successful because these companies are just behemoths. I mean, we went after Target, we've gone after Home Depot and others in the past. So this is just another avenue in our approach to advance Judeo-Christian values in American culture and protect religious liberty and diverse viewpoints in our country and ensure that these massive corporations are not being weaponized by the Marxists, weaponized by the left, to target Christian viewpoints.
That's so good. Jerry, I'll give you the final word here. Why is this particular avenue so important right now as we go right into the boardroom of the biggest companies in America?
Because the Caesars of our day are not presidents and senators. They're the CEOs of major corporations. They have the influence, and Christians were enjoined from the beginning, like Paul, take your case to Caesar. Speak before kings, and it will be given to you what to say. That's how we influence the culture.
That's what Walker Wildman's going to be doing next week. Gentlemen, always a pleasure to have you on our airwaves. Thanks for stopping by this morning.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you. God bless.
All right. That's Walker Wildman and Jerry Boyer with us today here in our final segment. Diane, Chad, stay right there. We'll see if we can get you scheduled to be on next week. I apologize we didn't get you on the air today, but our team will pick up that line. Folks, thanks for being along with us. It's been a joy to be able to come to you all week from the National Religious Broadcasters Convention here in Nashville. Let me say a big thanks to my producer sitting to my left here today, Devin Patrick, back in Tupelo today, Robert Youngblood, Adam Suddeth. So grateful for those gentlemen and providing great research today, Mr. Jim Henry. Hope you have a great weekend. Enjoy church. Come back and join us on Monday. This has been Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.